public thank Arnold for all that he does to keep the mics and things running. He is to be commended for that. One of the most amazing passages in all the Bible, I think, is the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. One of the greatest proofs of the scriptures and Jesus be the Christ is this particular chapter. I'm going to read a verse or two to introduce our lesson tonight. Isaiah 53, verse 3 and 4. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes ye are healed. If you have your Bibles tonight, you might want to turn and read some with us. We're going to begin with Mark 8, and we're going to read there verses 31, and we're going to talk about what that says. And he began to teach them, Mark 8, 31, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And then in Matthew 21, the same idea is addressed in Matthew 21 and verse 34, where the Bible says there, And at the time of fruit new year, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husband took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbands? And then from the 17th chapter of Luke's gospel, there's another passage that I want to set before our minds, beginning with verse 25. But first must he, that's Christ, suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I want to particularly look at verse 30 a second. Even so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man be revealed. I think the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ will be rejected again by the vast majority of mankind before he returns. I believe the Bible teaches that. Jesus said, When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? This one says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man be revealed. Now Luke 17 is talking about the judgment of the Jerusalem and that time, but it's also talking about when the Son of Man would be revealed. The Son of Man was not really revealed at the destruction of Jerusalem, so it happens to be here. It's amazing when you look about and you see what the world has done to the very Son of God. We are supposed to be a religious nation. We have claimed that in some instances, claimed to be a Christian nation. But it's happened that we rejected the Son of God. Not us, not the Church of Christ in particular, but us individually as we've striven to do it. How do we reject Jesus Christ? Well, we do it the same way we reject anybody. If an officer comes before you to arrest you and you pick up a stick and knock him in the head, you've rejected him. You have rejected his authority. If a teacher stands into a classroom and says to the class, "Get out your books and come to order," and some kids, all or a majority of them, any of them, will not do that, you've rejected that teacher. We know what it is to be rejected. When Jesus was rejected, it was because his authority was rejected. Matthew 28:18, "All power or authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye there and preach the gospel to all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And so the authority there, what's happened? Well, we just the last few weeks or in recent history have noticed that the Pope claims to have the authority of Jesus Christ. When he speaks ex cathedra, it is official Catholic doctrine, when he speaks from the chair of the Pope, that he cannot make a mistake. He's infallible. We've seen people bow down and worship him. We've seen them address him as Lord God the Pope. His authority has been rejected. When we look about us at the religious world that we call the denominationalism, almost without exception, I don't know of any that I couldn't lay it at, have rejected the authority of Jesus Christ for their creeds. And so would they reject it for their creeds. Their council has rejected. Colossians 3:17, "All that you do in word or in deed, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ." Not only that, but we recognize as members of the Lord's church that people have rejected Jesus because they rejected the church, his body. The Church of Christ has been rejected. I could tell you stories, and you could too, about that very thing, and it hasn't gotten much better. What have they been rejected for? For man-made churches. Not only that, but for clubs and organizations. We don't know about that. And so the Bible teaches us when the church is rejected, Jesus Christ is rejected, and the church is rejected. And then we come to a very simple thing, and that is when a person's name is rejected, he is rejected. If you go into the bank down here at Ridgetop and you sign your name and give them a check, you got your name on it, and they won't take it, they've rejected your authority to get any money out of that bank. Now, if you don't have any money in there and you have no authority there, it doesn't make any difference. But they rejected it. Acts 4:11-12, you'd have to have help to misunderstand it. "Neither is there any name under heaven given whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. There's not salvation in any other." Philippians 2:8-12, you've got to have help to misunderstand it. "And has given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." The Bible so says it, and it's very easy to understand. Acts 11:26, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." The Bible, that word "call" means that it was a divine calling. And they have rejected the name Christian for all kind of names that are not even in the Bible, and some, of course, that are. And then, of course, there's the great gospel, the whole plan that God planned from the very beginning. Isn't it something that God, in the very beginning, before time, Ephesians 1:4, chosen us in Christ, and he planned the gospel plan of salvation, and he sent people to prepare it. Abraham came along, and he made promise to Abraham that through him he would bless all the nations of the earth. Moses came along and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses very plainly said in Deuteronomy 18:18-19, "The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things." And so people have rejected the name of Jesus Christ and the gospel plan. In Romans 1:16, you know what it says. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone. And so the gospel has been rejected. How many people do you know of, can you name right now, that's interested in knowing the gospel plan of salvation? If you know anybody, give me their name and address. I'm looking hard for a person that wants to know the gospel plan of salvation. Now, if I was selling something and giving away prizes, I could interest people. But I don't know a soul, and if I'm sure I may be able to uncover one or two. But I'd like to do that. They rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we come to the fact that they rejected the authorized worship of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as you know, that we must worship God in spirit and truth. They rejected the Lord's Day now for Saturday night. I cannot for the life of me understand why they would reject taking the Lord's Supper on Sunday, the Lord's Day, and have it on Saturday night. I don't really know what went on at Shackle Island last Sunday night. I passed the Baptist church there, and I believe every car in Sumner County was there. It was some kind of service, and I just wondered if they had met Saturday night, excuse me. If they had met to take the Lord's Supper. I just guessed that might have been it. They rejected the day, therefore. They've rejected the plan to support the Lord's church. There's just one plan to support the Lord's church. 1 Corinthians 16:1-4, and that is to lay by and store up on the first day of the week into the church treasury. That's what it says there. That's what the Greek says, at least. And so that is the plan. We're not to have sales. We're not to go out begging. We're not to have schemes. We all take what we make and we look at it and we give as we've been prospered. They rejected the preaching. And what's so sad about it, the church is now following them and rejecting the preaching. I get criticized because I extend the Lord's invitation so much. I don't mind it. I take it as a badge of honor. If I can extend the Lord's invitation anywhere on this earth, anywhere, anytime, I want to do it. I want to tell people what to do to be saved. I don't know of any more news that's more important to them or more important to God. And when the Church of Christ gets too busy and too disinterested to listen, to plead with people to obey the gospel of Christ, we need to get out of it. It's really not the Church of Christ. Jesus wanted us to go and to persuade people to be Christians. Although, someone says, we don't have many responses. Well, that doesn't make any difference because God still wants us to do it. We rejected the music, as you know, of the New Testament. And so Jesus, what Jesus authorized. The Bible says that they, the apostles and Jesus, sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Didn't say they played a hymn. And anybody who knows anything about instrumental music knows that the first 3 centuries, 4, was nothing heard of it. Very little even then. And of course, it came in much later than that. And most of the denominations in their beginning rejected it. And the greatest Baptist preacher of all times, Spurgeon, rejected it and would not allow it in the tabernacle at London where he preached. But we have come to a time when we can do better than God can. I was reading 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 this morning, and I looked there, and there was the rejection of God's way of preaching. You know, you don't hear anybody anymore say, let women keep silent in the church. And if they want to know anything, ask their husbands at home. Have you heard anybody anywhere, even in the Lord's church, mention that? It's still in there. Have you heard them mention, but I suffer not a woman to teach and usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence? Now, I'm not saying that there's not a place and there's not a great importance to women and women teachers. And they're to teach the younger women. They're to teach the classes. But what I am saying, that we think we know more about it than what God does. And so we have rejected that, and we continue to do that. Now, when we come down to this, the point about all this is that if you reject the Lord in this, then you reject the Lord and His authority, and you reject the Christ. We wouldn't think about rejecting Christ, but when we put things, other things first in our lives, and we do not put that which is right first, we have effectively done exactly that. I want to read to you from Matthew 21, passages I quoted somewhat this morning. What think ye? A certain man, this is verse 28, had two sons. He came to the first and said, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. Now that was a rejection of the authority of the person running the vineyard. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered, I go, sir. But he went not. Now then, notice Jesus' application of this. Whether the twain did the will of God, of his father. They said to him, the first, Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. And the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterwards, that you might believe him. God's authority was rejected when they would not listen to Jesus Christ. When you read the story of Jesus Christ, you find out, just like Isaiah said, he was despised and rejected. And then you turn to when they arrested him, and they tried to find something that they could accuse him of, and they found nothing. Finally, they found something that said, if you destroy this temple, I will build it again in 3 days. And then they did arrest him and went about to condemn him, and he asked, what sin are you condemning me for? And they said, because he claimed to be the Son of God and the King of the Jews. We don't like kings. I don't like kings. I guess I grew up thinking that kings were just out of order. I'm glad that this country rebelled against King George III. I'm glad we don't live under king. I think our generations of ancestors who keep up the queen and all of that is wasting an awful lot of money. And I would that they would give it to me. God recognizes one king, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we must also. But Jesus was rejected time and time again on while he was on the earth. In Luke, the 9th chapter, the Bible tells us, I guess, one of the most vivid of his rejections. And it came to pass, verse 57, as they went their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'll do whatever you want. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds there have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Men would not think, when kings were on this earth, men would not think of answering kings in any such manner as we read about that there. But we find this, of course, very plainly taught throughout the scriptures. And so we come then, and Jesus predicted that he would be rejected of men and that they would cast him behind and take his life. And they did that very thing. Now, we come to our time. How do people reject Jesus Christ today? I'd like to talk about how the church rejected Jesus Christ. All of us know what it is to have responsibility to other people. We know what it is to have responsibility to husbands and wives, to have a responsibility to family. We all know what it is to have responsibility at a job. But sometimes we forget the responsibility that we have as Christians. If Jesus is King, and he is of the Lord's church, it seems to me that there is honor due him. There is honor due him. And the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ to the glory of the Father. I hope you do that while you've got a chance on this earth to do that. For the time is coming when that will not be. I want to read you a little bit of what happened in the trial of Christ when he claimed to be the Son of God. I'm turning to Luke's account of the gospel. Now I want to turn to Luke account, and I want to start reading with chapter 23 and verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, he said to them, "You have brought me this man as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching the things whereof you have accused him. Yet no, not yet Herod, for I sent him unto him, and nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one of them to the feast." So you see what's happening for Pilate. Now notice how they make Pilate become serious about it. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this fellow, but release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Therefore, Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, and they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, and delivered Jesus to their will. Now, why did they do that? You know, Pilate didn't pay much attention to them until they said that Jesus claimed to be king, and if he let him go, he would not be Caesar's friend. Now, I want to pick up reading with verse 36. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offered him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew: "This is the king of the Jews." And so they claimed that that's what he was. And the Bible says that they demanded that they go ahead and kill him. And of course, they did that exact thing. I wonder tonight if Jesus is king of my life and if he's king of your life. I know he is, but I wonder if he is to the extent that I should have him be. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Have you ever thought about the fact that it is quite a privilege to confess the name of Jesus? Not everybody could do that because he's not been preached to everybody, and because many do not believe. Have you once thought of the wonderful promises that is made? If you confess me, I'll confess you. I have learned over the last few months that I used to didn't think that you needed a lawyer. I really thought that I was smart enough to go to law and out talk them. But having been into the law courts a little bit and watched some situations, I recognize now why there's so many lawyers. If you don't have a lawyer, the way this situation is set up, you don't have much show in a court of law. I understand now why I know they say a man that represents himself in court has a fool for an attorney. So that is because of that. Now, we come into spiritual things, and we come into when judgment is going to take place. And God is on his throne, and we're all there to answer before God. Would you want your mother or father to speak up for you? Well, maybe so. Your best friends. But the Bible says, God says that Christ will speak up for us. And Christ says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If that happens, you're on your way to heaven. Jesus is going to confess those that are his, because they have done his will and they've represented him as King of kings and Lord of lords. And I want to make it very clear what I put on the board. If Jesus is not the king of your life, he is not the Savior of your soul. There's no way on God's earth that Jesus is going to be the Savior of anybody of whom he is not the King. It's all in the same ball of wax. If Christ is your Savior, He's your King. And that's the reason we need to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant here. Command, and I will obey." As we close this service and think about that very fact, have you made Jesus King of your life? If you haven't made Jesus King of your life, you have rejected Him. You can't recognize Him as Savior without recognizing Him as King. And remember this very clear statement that Jesus made. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12 and verse 48. We will be condemned if we have not confessed Jesus to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords and tried our best to live that way. If there's a question about what we should do, the King should be consulted first. If there's a question about where we should go, the King should be consulted first. If there's a question about how we should help others, we need to follow the example of our Lord and Savior. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He commanded you to be baptized for remission of sins. And He gave you this guarantee: he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Lord signed that and sealed it with His blood. That'll get you to heaven. The doctrines of men will not. If you once obeyed that and you've wandered back, and that's easy to do, come home to the Lord tonight. He can forgive you and will forgive you if you'll confess your faults and repent. He will strengthen you and accept you back. And go to bed tonight honoring your King. And thank God that He's allowed you to know Him as your Savior. And you've accepted Him as King of your life. And it's your goal to live like He wants you to live. Won't you?